Scientists have been studying the urban heat island effect for a while now, but more recently they've been trying to get more specific localized data. That could allow researchers to figure out how a specific part of a city heats up and cools down. One way to do that is to use something called local climate zones, and with me to explain is Ariana Madal, an assistant professor with ASU's School of Arts, Media, and Engineering. And Ariana, first off, let's define our terms. What exactly are local climate zones?
Local climate zones are a classification scheme for urban heat island studies. So you've probably heard about the urban heat island effect. It's the phenomenon that cities are warmer at night than their rural surroundings. And they essentially create their own local climate. And cities are also warmer due to human activities. We drive cars, we use air conditioning systems to keep us cool that release waste heat into the city. So they're literally making it a heat island. And those urban heat islands have been studied all over the world. And usually, researchers look at the air temperature difference between a rural site outside of the city and then an urban site, which is usually the airport weather station. But then cities differ in form. Think of Phoenix versus Manhattan. Those areas have completely different types of buildings, and the rural areas are different too. So here in Phoenix, we have mostly rock and shrubs and cacti outside the city, but in New York, you may see a forest. So if you want to compare the urban heat island of Phoenix and New York, you're really comparing apples and oranges.
So this really sounds like a way to be a little more precise, I guess, even within the given urban environment, what the climate and what the heat situation is.
Right.
Can you give us sort of an example in the Phoenix metro area or even just within Phoenix proper of maybe a couple of examples of what these local climate zones are?
Yeah, so the most dominant zone here in Phoenix would be the open low-rise zone. That's a typical residential neighborhood, has detached single-family homes, small front yards, little backyards. And then another zone that you find here very often is the sparsely built zone. That would be an area in Paradise Valley, for example. And we have a lot of bare rock, too.
How do these different zones behave differently, even maybe within a given city, in terms of trapping heat and then releasing heat?
Right. So for example, take the compact high-rise zone in Manhattan. This zone typically has very tall buildings, very narrow roads, and those tall buildings, they would trap the heat. And then at night, when it comes to the urban heat island, it would be harder for this zone to release the heat and to cool down. Whereas if you have an open low-rise zone, which would be your single-family home residential neighborhood, there's not a lot of heat that's trapped at night because there's not a lot of obstruction. But on the flip side, those neighborhoods that are more open and more low-rise, they will heat up more during the day and they'll be more uncomfortable because there is less shade from the buildings.
Well, so in Phoenix, as you referenced, we don't have a ton of those high rises with narrow roads in between them, but yet we still talk about how the urban heat island effect is so bad here. What's making that happen, given that things are more spread out? We have wider roads, we have, you know, more low-rise buildings, houses with grass and, you know, shrubbery in between them.
One big portion of the urban heat island here is those extensive parking lots and impervious surfaces. We have 7-lane roads in parts of the city, and those impervious surfaces, they really store the heat during the day. So then during the day, they're hit by the sun. They're not shaded mostly. And then at night, they slowly release the heat and cause the urban heat island.
So how do researchers like yourself try to use this data and, you know, do something with it to try to mitigate the impact of the urban heat island?
So for Phoenix, we recently conducted a study. We classified the whole metro area into those local climate zones to make the city comparable to other urban heat island studies. And then for each of those zones, for those typical neighborhoods, so to speak, we calculate average surface temperatures during the day and during the night to see if those zones have a very typical signature in terms of heat. And there were typical signatures. So as I mentioned earlier, we found that for the high-rise zones during the day, the surface temperatures were slightly lower than average because there's a lot of shade in those high-rise areas. But then at night, there was a distinct surface urban heat island. That means that average surface temperatures in those areas were higher than the average city area, just because of this urban heat island and the heat retention that happens. And then in the sparsely built areas, such as Paradise Valley, you can see the opposite. The surface temperatures are usually higher than average during the day because of a lack of shade. and just extensive soil and rock. But then those areas really cooled down very quickly at night, so surface temperatures were much lower at night.
Is there a way to have sort of the best of both worlds, where it's maybe not quite so hot during the day and it also cools off at night? It seems like you have one or the other here.
Right. It's really a trade-off, and the question is, what would you like to optimize? Would you like to optimize daytime situations where people are outdoors? Would you like to encourage walking? Or would you like to lower temperatures at night, which would help with your energy bill?
Is one seen as more desirable? You ideally would like to have a situation where you can do something to both reduce the temperature during the day, especially when it's 110 plus degrees here, but also make it so that it's not oppressive at night when, you know, maybe people go out, the kids go out and play when it's not so sunny and, you know, maybe in theory at least cools down a little bit.
Right. And one important aspect that's more of a micro scale than local scale problem is shade. So introducing shade in the urban area really helps with your thermal comfort. And you're not so much modifying air temperature, implementing shade, but you're improving thermal comfort.
It seems like, to at least some degree, the impact of the urban heat island is dependent on how a given part of the city is built. Do you imagine that at some point down the road, researchers and city planners and residents are going to have to look at that and think about how cities are built and what is built and where a given type of building or landscaping is put?
This is definitely an important part, because urban heat here in the summer is a serious issue in Phoenix. So knowing how to combat the heat through climate-sensitive city design is really important in desert cities like Phoenix, and I hope that our study can help inform some ongoing efforts by the cities here in the valley to combat the heat.
All right, that's Ariana Madal, an assistant professor in the School of Arts, Media, and Engineering at ASU. Ariana, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.